One verse of scripture this morning claims our attention. And I can tell you, before I read from the Word of God, that I have never preached a message from this verse of scripture before in my ministry. And the reason I haven't is because it's very difficult. And the reason it's difficult is because an injunction has fallen upon those who are disciples of Christ to make a judgment that is very difficult to make, I would assume. Jesus said to his disciples, and this is still the Sermon on the Mount, please keep that in mind. These are selected disciples in the sense that he went up into a mountain and they followed him, and he taught them. And we've studied the Beatitudes and many other truths that Jesus taught these people. And now he tells them, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." I think we need to remind ourselves of some very important truths this morning before we look at this very plain statement of Jesus. And I think the first thing I feel compelled to remind you of is that God loves the world. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this verse of Scripture does not imply that for some reason or in some particular circumstance, God may not love. We cannot call into question God's love. We also know, according to the Word of God, that God will have all men to be saved. For he stated, it is stated in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Peter wrote, "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I think another truth that we need to keep in mind as we consider this text that I've read this morning, and that is that we're to witness to all men. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." In what we call the Great Commission or commandment, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." So we cannot question the love of God, the will of God, or God's will for us that we witness to all nations, all ethnics. Then there's something else the Bible teaches us, and something that life teaches us, and something that our own experiences have taught us, and that is, we know that all men will not be saved. John 3:36 speaks of those who believe not and the fact that they are condemned. In Matthew 7:14, as Jesus talked about the broad way and the narrow way representing life eternal, Jesus said, "Few there be that find it." Even though God loves the world, and even though he's made provision for all the world, for every human in it, to be saved and to become one who learns his truths. And even though we know that as we are to go into the world, we are to witness to every creature and And yet experience teaches us that some reject the truth. Not only do some reject the truth, but some resent the truth. And not only do some reject the truth and some resent the truth, there are those who resist the truth. Not only are those people who resent the truth and resist the truth and reject the truth, but there are people who try to keep God's people from teaching the truth. They involve themselves in physical activity or in legal activity that will prevent God's people from doing the things that God has called them to do and taught His people to do. Now, as we look at the statement, I do not think it is a take it or leave it statement. I don't think it has choice in it in the sense of you can do it or not do it, it's all up to you. But how shall we do what our Lord commands? And certainly we must attempt to do it. It ought to be a truth that is in our minds and in our hearts. It ought to be a principle by which we are guided, at least in some occasion or on some occasion in our life's experience. Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." What is holy? What is it that is holy? Whatever it is, it isn't mine. So I must have in my hand something that is of God, something that is holy. And the pearls that we would give to the swine, what are the pearls? Surely they are things that are not ours, and we're just not trying to escape some sort of embarrassment to our own personal selves or the destruction of our own egotism or the destruction of our own self-worth. Surely our God isn't simply trying to guide us past some embarrassing circumstance. A very plain statement of Jesus is, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs." The word that's translated "give not" means to give freely, to commit literally, not simply to let it fall and then let something or someone pick it up. He's not saying, now be careful when you're involved in those things that are holy, that crumbs do not fall from the Lord's table and some dog come along and eat it. There are those who've translated this in that fashion, that this might have to do with the preparation of the Lord's table. This might have to do with some sacrifice in the Old Testament that has been offered to Almighty God and therefore is holy and sanctified and set apart. And yet if some dog came and devoured it, it would then be a sin in the sight of God. I do not think, nor do I believe, that's what Jesus is saying and has reference to here. It means to commit something, to freely give it. Give not that which is holy, sacred and clean. You must never give the things that are sacred to the dogs. So as we ask ourselves, what is the holy thing that is mentioned here? We have to believe that it is truth. It is God's truth. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. It is God's truth. It is that God loved the world. It is that God gave. It is that God is holy. It is that men have sinned. And all the other principles and truths that are taught in the Word of God. give not that which is holy, that which is sanctified, that which is sacred unto the dogs. And these two animals that Jesus uses here in this verse of Scripture are the two most obnoxious animals to Jews that Jesus could have chosen. Do not give it to the dogs. On one occasion, Jesus spoke of the circumcision who would enact laws to water down and destroy the grace of God. He did refer to them as dogs. Paul did. But who are these dogs before whom we must not be involved in giving or passing and committing to them the sacred things of God? Who are these dogs? We must not say that they're simply unconverted people, that they're people who are lost, that they're people who are not born again. I know that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but if that were true, Jesus would never say that. It's not just giving the gospel to the lost world. Surely it isn't that. We know it doesn't mean that. So the idea that these are just lost people and we ought not to give them the truth of God or commit to them the truth of God, I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. And that seems to indicate of just throwing them out as though they were food. This word really means to throw or hit. So the indication is, do not throw or hit those who are called swine with your pearls. You must never throw your pearls before hogs. But what are the pearls? Jesus speaks a parable, the pearl of great price, and in it, the pearl of great price is either Christ or the truth of the gospel of the Son of God and kingdom-related truths and principles. Perhaps all of these things. So we have some indication of what pearls are. They're always used in a good sense, in the sense of representing that which is holy and righteous and good. Neither throw your pearls to swine. Just little pigs, hogs. Now, as we look at these two statements, again, we'd ask ourselves why, and Jesus tells us why, lest they trample them under their feet. We don't throw our pearls to the swine, lest they trample or tread them down into the dirt where they are in the swine pen. And turn again and rend you, which means to literally break in pieces, to shatter. It describes glass that has been dropped from a certain height onto a hard surface so that it shatters into many pieces. It's not just that they would harm you, but they would literally break you in pieces and shatter your physical life. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. This statement of Jesus has all of the characteristics of a Jewish proverb. Proverbs, the 9th chapter, gives us an idea of a similar statement. Perhaps will help us to understand what Jesus is talking about. Proverbs 9, 7 and 8. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. But who do we know, or how do we know who a scorner is and who a wise man is? There's a problem. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. I've had that happen. You probably have also. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. I've had that happen. You have probably had it happen to you also. So here is a forbidding. A forbidding to use our wisdom or our knowledge to reprove, to find fault, if you please, to point out error. And reprove a scorner and you'll bring yourself to shame. And you rebuke a wicked man and you'll get a blot, which is probably a physical attack in the sense of a bruise. If you reprove a scorner, point out his faults and his problems and encourage him to walk in wisdom, he'll hate you. Those are Jewish proverbs, and this seems to fall into that category. But as we look further into the Word of God, we learn that men and nations may cross a line that God has set. And let me point this out. And only God can see. We don't see that line. God may draw a line in the sands of time or on the tablet of error and tell a nation or an individual, if you cross that line, then I will no longer call you to repentance, but I will bring sudden and irrevocable harm and shame down upon you. But we don't know when people cross that line. We don't know when nations cross that line. God said of Ephraim, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Notice the statement, let him alone. Rather an incredulous thing that God says of a nation or a tribe, let them alone. He and his people have so joined themselves to idol worship that to preach to them, to call them to repentance, to chastise them would no longer benefit them, and so let them alone. They are joined to their idols. So he instructed Hosea. And chapter 15 of the book that we're studying, the book of Matthew. Jesus said in verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the man, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Notice verse 14, let them alone. That's what he said to his disciples, to Peter and others, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus said, they have no spiritual perception to be offended by the truth that I speak. And so he said, let them alone. This is not the first time that Jesus has spoken the truth to the Pharisees. He has been speaking it to them for quite some time. In Matthew 13, Jesus speaks of those who have ears to hear and ears, or rather ears to hear and eyes to see, and refuse to do so. Jesus said, therefore speak I to them in parable, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. These people had a real serious problem, and Jesus said it was with their heart. This people's heart is waxed gross. Should we then preach to people who have waxed hearts or fat hearts that are not willing to accept the truth of God? And if that's true, how do we perceive when a person has a hard heart? We see they have ears. It's obvious, but do they hear? We know they have eyes, but do they see? We see those things, but we do not see their heart. And therefore, we do not know that it is fat and clumsy. When Jesus sent forth the 12 in Matthew chapter 10, he sent them to the nation of Israel. He specifically said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he gives them some instructions. In verse 14 he states, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. A similar circumstance is recorded in Luke, the 10th chapter, where Jesus sends forth the 70, two by two, and the Bible tells us that again he makes the same kind of statement. Jesus sends out the 70, and he said, there is a harvest that is great, but the labors are few. Time is of the essence. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Don't take time to be polite to everybody on the way. Tells them to enter into the cities and heal the sick, and preach the kingdom, that is the news of the kingdom. But unto whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Paul and Barnabas were great men of God. And in the book of Acts, there's a record there of their preaching the truth of God. Acts chapter 13. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came also almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. The Bible tells us that the Jews were very jealous of all that came to hear the word of God, and they were filled with envy or jealousy, and they contradicted what Paul preached about Jesus, and they blasphemed God by their contradiction. And Paul and Barnabas said, it was necessary to preach the word of God to you Jews as you assemble in this city, and that we ought to do it first, but since you people judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we'll just spend our time with the Gentiles. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So here Paul and Barnabas not only said, we'll not preach to you, but we will preach the Gentiles, so angered the Jews that they expelled them from their city. Well, we still haven't answered fully our questions that we arose in the beginning of the message that we alluded to. Let me say again that we should witness to all men, those who show interest and those who may not show interest. And we should be faithful and lovingly patient with those who show interest and with those who may not show interest. And in our witnessing to the friends that we work with, the neighbors we live among, and to the relatives of our family, may I tell you that once is not enough. But God is long-suffering, and we must also be long-suffering. But I can tell you that as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have pearls. And you have that which is holy. And if in your witnessing or if in your preaching there are those who threaten your life because you are giving them the truths of God, because that seems to be involved here, Jesus said in regard to the hogs, lest they trample them under and turn again and rend you. Perhaps Jesus is setting some kind of circumstance for these disciples who are going to be witnessing and working and doing his work like Peter and others. To die for preaching the truth of God is an honorable thing because there are many martyrs in our history. But to die foolishly is not to be a martyr. And to die unnecessarily is not to be a martyr. When the world or the nation or the community, the household, when it is so offended by the truth of God that you are threatened with bodily harm if you ever come back again, I would say in the interest of truth and your continued good health and not to cast your pearls before swine nor to give that which is holy unto the dogs, you should shake the dust of that household or that person or that individual, spiritually speaking, symbolically speaking, from your feet. I realize I could be very severely criticized for saying what I'm saying, but I know of no other truth to gain from this. There are those who believe that they love more than God, or that they love more than Jesus did, or they love more than Paul and Barnabas did when Paul and Barnabas left these Jewish people to their own ways. They themselves had judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. But I can tell you quite frankly that you cannot love more than Jesus loved, nor can you love more than God loves, nor is it apt or likely that you will love more than Paul and Barnabas loved. So to say that you cannot do this because you love too much is to put yourself in a position of loving more than God. And I doubt that's true. Or loving more than Jesus, I doubt that's true. Or loving more than Barnabas and Paul, and I doubt that's true. After all, these things are not ours. They're not mine and they're not yours. They're God's. Does God not have a right to say, I wish not these holy things of me to be thrown to the dogs. I wish these holy things of mine not to be trampled on by the swine of the earth. Is that not God's privilege to say that? You know, sometimes we caution our own children when we give them things. Look, don't waste this. We worked hard for this. We've earned this. And we give it to you, but don't waste it. Don't trivialize it. If we give you money, don't take it and spend it on things that are not honoring to us. Don't violate our beliefs by spending the money we give you on things we don't believe in. It's a foolish child who would take the money of mother and father who are dramatically opposed to drinking, and their children know this, and then go buy beer with it. You see, these things are holy. They're not mine or yours to do with as we please. They're God's. And if God chooses not to have them thrown to the dogs or cast before the swine, then that ought to be God's business. And if we know of a circumstance where that is occurring, we ought not to do it. And you say, yeah, now you're teaching people not to witness. No, I am not. And if you say that, you are a liar. What did I say in the beginning of this message? I said it then. I believed it then. I believe it now. But if people oppose the message of God that you bring to them with violence, then I say that God does not expect you to continue putting yourself in the place where you may be done bodily harm. Now, if it's just verbal abuse, if it's just, no, I don't want to hear that, if it's just, go tell it to somebody else, then we bear those things with the same long suffering that Jesus did. I told you in the beginning, it's very difficult to know how to do this, and it is. But if something hasn't caused it to just simply go away, then we ought to try to do what it says. Maybe it just applied to these disciples to whom Jesus talked. But if that's true, then we need to sharpen our skills in hermeneutics.